Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. Guide us and protect us as we go through this life. Help us to stay faithful to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am thankful for the times I worship our God and have fellowship with other believers as we show compassion and concern for others, and we pray for them very often, especially as we remember the difficulty that they are going through, our prayers become a form of loving them. I believe in the direct connection between prayer and miracles. And then there is our part in what goes on just in the world, by words and by works. I like James 2:26 that says in part, faith without works is dead. And we have our great desire to love God and love our neighbor, as the great commandment of Matthew 22:38 says, and John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There is a time we go from verse to verse in the Bible, but mostly I like to think about and dwell on what is in our own heart, connecting our heart with God and feeling the love that God has for us, and we want to love God back. We learn that from what God tells us in Scripture, and what is good for our own happiness, that's what Scripture also tells us about. And that makes us want to obey God's commandments even more. Also, we will want to share the good news of the gospel, of God loving us with our family and our friends and others. That's how I generally see it, even though each person will understand and learn it in a different way. Some people will learn Scripture by reading it, some will learn Scripture in church, and some people will learn it because of the difficulty in their life. Oh, maybe they learn it in prison, for instance. But the thing is we learn about Scripture, we believe it, we accept it, and then we live it. About our eternal future, which is very good because it's with God and Jesus in heaven. And there are people who reject that good news of the Bible, that Scripture, and it looks like they will have a very seriously bad eternal future. But Christ followers are called upon to share the good news of the gospel, and we would want to do that anyway. We like to share good news with other people. That's just kind of ordinary. And besides, when you think about The Bible thinks we do not want anyone to perish, and certainly we do not want our young, innocent people near us to lose out on the opportunity of going to heaven. We want to share the heavenly hope, the hope of heaven, with everyone, and especially the younger and innocent people. I think of that great commission that is written about at the end of Matthew and the end of Luke, and they talk about preaching the good news of the gospel. And so let us pray for the young, for the salvation of all people, and certainly the young people, because that's, we just want people to have the love of God in their heart and share the good news. We all have a testimony to share, and that is a part of what we do as Christian. Everybody has a testimony, no matter what age we are. And we just focus, as Christians, we focus on the good news and understanding the heart of God with that good news of salvation that is in the gospel. And yet we know that not everything in the world is good. There are some things that are pretty seriously bad. Why? Why is there any bad in the world? Because God gave men free will. And sometimes the free will of man is really seriously bad. Yeah, so let us be aware of the dangers that there are in the world. And we don't want to get caught in them. So we pay attention. Mostly, people, all of us, we get along quite well, especially when we follow the moral instructions that the Bible gives us to honor God and other things like do not steal, do not gossip, do not take anything that belongs to our neighbor. Yeah, don't sign up for a loan guarantee for anyone either. Don't do that. There's many subjects that are addressed in the Bible, and we can learn from them. We can get understanding of things, and even things we wouldn't normally expect, like building a wall. Is that a good thing or not? A wall around a city? A wall around a nation? Well, it shows that it's okay to do. And showing kindness is also a good thing to do when it is done in a God-honoring way. Also, praying to God for guidance or understanding. That is always good. And there is just much wisdom in the Bible for us to seek to do in our life. It would make the world better if we applied more biblical principles to how we live. And as we interacted with people, even things that we might not consider for being biblical, like making money, some people don't think that's biblical. But money is talked about very, very much in the Bible. And we just want to do it in a God-honoring way. Make money, yes. That's never been shown to be a bad thing in the Bible. It's simply what we do with our money. We want to be careful that as we are making money, we do not trick people or cheat anyone, and pretty much not to hide what we are doing regarding finances. And that reminds me of, the April 3rd broadcast of Christ Today. I mentioned financial trouble that is going on around that Archie Goes capital management company with Bill Wang, who ran the Archie Goes capital management. He had borrowed not millions of dollars, but billions of dollars from a couple of banks. And if you will remember, $1 billion is equal to $1,000 million bills. It's just hard to believe that somebody could borrow a couple of $1 billion. But he did, and he was transacting in derivatives, and those are a questionable market. But what happened was that things did not work out the way he planned and in his financial dealings, and he did not make his loan payments to two of the banks. One of the banks was the Nomura Bank of Japan, and they are prepared to lose $2 billion. The other bank was Swiss Credit Bank, which was prepared to lose $2 billion also. But then, just in this last week, that amount was increased to $4.7 billion that was a potential loss. Two banks could end up losing $6.7 billion combined. That is a whole lot of dollars. And I don't believe that that would disrupt our system, our financial system. I think we can get through that. But it just shows that there are some weak spots in our financial system. And this week there was a warning from Scott Minard, who was the chairman of the Guggenheim Investment Company. And he said, "It is very likely that another firm will implode in a similar way to Bill Wang's Archegos Capital Management." So, what I see when somebody says something like that is our system could be breaking up. It's just an indicator. And what that means is we want to keep our eyes opened and be cautious. Because if losses continue, who knows how bad it might get? It could hurt our system. Now, our economic system is so very big, but we still could have something happen that our system would be somehow crippled or hurt. And because of this problem with Archegos Capital Management Company, there has been various calls for the SEC, which is the Securities Exchange Commission, to regulate derivative transactions. And all along, up until this point, the SEC has not been called upon to regulate derivatives. Really, if they were, it's just a very, very vast question. It's so involved. But if the SEC were to do that, it would make a very big change. And when there are changes, there are always unknowns. And I still recognize that there is a good possibility of the United States dollars coming under various pressures. And one of them is the people who have wanted to eliminate paper dollars, eliminate currency, and that would make everything electronic, or it would be so that every transaction could then be tracked and traced. It would just be ever so different, so there are forces to put all these different processes into effect. A few days ago, Ray Dalio, who is a multimillionaire, personally, he has a net worth of something like $16 billion. And Ray Dalio is also the head of the world's largest hedge fund. And he just warned that inflation is on its way. And now he did not say hyperinflation, But there are more and more people, money and financial people, who are saying that hyperinflation will at some point come along. And that means we ought to be cautious, very cautious. And we could see that there are forces working in the stock market to keep it going up, and in crypto to keep them going up. And so it still could happen that many, many things would go up and up and up. But we also know that if things go up fast, they can go down fast. That's a historical fact. So we could see changes in many different areas. And again, we have the possibilities. A quick rise up, a quick fall down. Now, it's not the same as knowing this will happen. It's just we know that that is what has happened in history. And again, there are changes going on. Lots of possibilities, like our Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Janet Yellen, she just suggested that there would be a worldwide minimum tax. So isn't that an example of change that could happen? Yeah. And you wonder just how do these people even come up with these ideas? It's as though they want to have a new world order. Well, maybe they do. Maybe that's going to happen. Well, we just might see a lot of changes coming. And the whole question is when? We do not understand the timing. We only know that the situation could be very volatile. So, what I would think is to put some assets into different categories. I mean, as if what would happen if the entire economy were to go down really quick or to go up really quick. Either way, just have a few assets in those two different areas. That's what I see, because too many people are seeing trouble on the horizon. But nobody knows when. I mean, we don't know. They don't know if it's going to be 2 months away or 7 months away or 3 years away. Nope. We just have different people with different ideas all over the place. So that's just something to think about, of what would we do if. Lots of ideas, and nobody really knows. But we can see that there's a lot of agreement that there is an economic and societal trouble coming along. There's just a big question about when. As I think about what different people are saying, it seems like Christian people are thinking that trouble is going to come sooner than later. But who knows? Who knows? I don't. Troubles. And you think about this virus that's going around, that is a trouble. And what we're doing about it. And plenty of people are saying, look out for the next virus. And you know that is something in the news these days. What are we going to do when the next virus comes along? Are we going to shut everything down for a few weeks to flatten the curve? Well, that's what they said a year ago. And look at how very much is still shut down. I am concerned about closing our economy down for another year. I mean, it's been very harmful already. Do we really want to put more nails into the coffin of our economy? It's serious. It is serious. And I don't think we want to see it get worse, where only a few stores are able to stay open. But we ask, what are we to do? And I think about, there's a couple of organizations that tell us what to do. the United Nations World Health Organization, and Klaus Schwab, who is president of the World Economic Forum, they are both very strongly saying that no one will be safe unless everyone is vaccinated. That's their message. And many world leaders, like 20-something of them, are stated that we will have more pandemics in the future. So everyone must do what we are told, and that pretty much means everyone must get vaccinated. Oh, yeah. So submit to the United Nations World Health Organizations and submit to the World Economic Forum. They have a plan for your life. And like they say, that is, the World Economic Forum has had a plan where you will own nothing and be happy. And they have said that plainly. So what kind of a future do you want? Oh, I sure don't know, but we know there's a lot of things that are going to be possible. So recognize what could happen if we have a very different reality from today. It could go. It could go in a lot of different directions. So still with the possibilities, it's always a good idea that I see to look at what the different possibilities are. What if there was another shutdown? What if the economy did close even further? Well, then there would be no jobs around. Nobody would have a job, and our government would go broke, and everything would really and truly break down. That would happen. That's what has happened in the past when societies have crumbled economically. There's a kind of a process that goes on, and then there is violence and hunger, and immoral behavior increases. That's just kind of the pattern. It's not that we're planning for it. It's that those things could happen. And what happens when hunger increases? I mean, this is an example, too. One year, for certain citizens of a certain country, they lost an average of 28 pounds because of hunger. So, I mean, those things happen. When there are no dogs and cats in the street because they've all been eaten. See, I mean, that is hunger. And that is something that has happened, and it could happen again. So, remember that whatever does happen, we are children of Jesus Christ. We're children of God, and we have and will want to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And that is Galatians 5:22. And whatever the conditions are, we want to follow the biblical example of Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. So use wisdom that we have available to us. It is biblical wisdom. Use that. And recognize that it is God our Savior that helps us to have understanding and to act appropriately for whatever is going on in front of us. We seek Him, and we seek to do the good will of God. And yet we know that there's only so many people in this world that want to have a relation with God, Jesus. It's a question of how many do. Maybe not so many are saved. Anyway, there's more unsaved than saved, as far as we understand it. So, does that mean we should be fearful about what is coming upon the earth? No, I don't think so. We just want to remember to be faithful to God, and He tells us what to do, even when we wonder what's coming. Yeah, we do know about what's coming, and that comes right out of Revelation. But yeah, and I think of Revelation 8:1, where there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, just before the seventh trump. And sure, a lot of people expect to be raptured by then. Probably that's true, but there is a lot of discussion about that because it's unknown. But I just mean that things are going to come upon the earth, and we just don't know quite what, and we certainly don't know when. But there's a lot of people today who are getting ready for something big and bad. Big and bad, like Revelation describes, or there's other parts of the gospel that talk about it. But I just mean we could have some other kind of disasters that are just more regular, not those big ones, but we could have the regular ones like earthquakes and tsunamis, or global cooling like a volcano going off. And if you look in history, there have been the volcanoes going off that have caused the earth to cool greatly. There was Mount Tambora in 1815, and that had so much ash into the atmosphere that the year following was known as the year without a summer, where water froze in the summertime when the sun went down. Krakatoa in 1883 was a little bit similar, but I just mean to say we can look forward to things happening that we don't know exactly what. Like I said, a lot of people are expecting something big and bad. It doesn't have to be those most serious things that the Bible talks about. We could have just regular serious things happening. I know there are people who are concerned about the nuclear bombs too. I myself am not so worried about it, because I know that we have had, 2,000 nuclear tests in the last 75 years, and that has not killed us. Some have been in the atmosphere, some have been under the ground, but the thing is we can take a lot of serious difficulty with nuclear or with the economy or anything. We just want to have a little preparedness for the just in case. For the nuclear, if that happened, I think we would want to have potassium iodide pills to protect our thyroid gland. We need that to live. For if there was something else, I think we just have the regular things. And to me, that's always water and food, or call it a water filter and food and warmth. I mean, those are my areas of concern. And I know that there's a whole lot of people concerned about other things. Oh, all sorts of things. Lots of people think the answer is guns. And who knows, maybe that's a part of the answer for you. I don't know that, but I don't know that they're, well, it could be part of the answer. I remember once I had an EMT instructor, and I liked what he said about guns. And he said, how would you act if you had a gun compared to how you would act without a gun? And he said, the answer is exactly the same. You get out of the way. That's what you do. So, and he was a guy who was licensed to carry a concealed weapon, and he was also a certified Red Cross instructor. It's just kind of interesting what you see. And it is a question. There's a lot of good things to be said for all sorts of things, including being armed. An armed society is a polite society. That was a saying a long time ago. Well, I guess that comes to mind because a few days ago I looked in the magazine rack, and I saw the magazines about preparedness. I think I do that every couple of years to see what's going on. And there are people who have every aspect of preparedness that you can imagine. It's just interesting to see. Everybody's different and has different ideas. And that is why I think it is so good to be a community. Because with everybody having a different idea, different areas will be covered if there is an emergency. So we can take advantage of different people's skills and different people's understandings when you come together as a community. So that's what I think. I think about if there are people who have a specialty with understanding security or guns or whatever it is, that could be a very necessary skill, and that's a good thing to have as a part of a community. And so are people who know how to preserve food or deal with illness or children or people in general. Just lots of things are needed when you have a community. And that, I think, is a good principle to remember about preparedness, to be a part of a community. I think there's only you can answer those kind of questions as you seek to understand and put things together. But do realize that for whatever is coming, you do want to be watchful. Watchful of what is going on or what kind of a threat there can be. I mean, that's just ordinary. Some people won't go out after dark because they're concerned about their safety. And that's okay. I think of conversations I've had with, what would you call them? Security people or first responders or something. And when they are in a position where they just might be dealing with violent people, I think just about what they have said. And they say, even if you are carrying a stick, a spray, pepper spray, or a knife, or a gun, or anything else, your first response is going to be with your hands. Because that's what you respond with if there is an attack on you. And after the initial attack, then you have to reach for whatever you're reaching for in the way of a weapon. So it is kind of different from what we expect, probably. And we do always have to think about our safety. We stay out of dangerous situations. We're watchful and aware of what's going on around us. And that is just plain the way it is. So pay attention. Yes, do pay attention. And if there is an emergency or a disaster of any kind, it means pay attention even more. You know, if there is a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, we just have to be aware that things are going to be different. You have to expect that there won't be any stores open. After all, with merchandise on the floor, like it would be after an earthquake, it just would not be safe to have anyone in the store. Oh, and not to mention, the electricity would probably not be on, because with emergencies or natural disasters, often enough the electricity goes off. So, without electricity, the stores would not be lit for safe walking, and the cash registers also, they would not be working. And so, yeah, you couldn't have any sales in the stores. It's just something that you would want to keep thinking about in your natural disaster preparedness planning. just consider these different things. For what would happen if the situations were not normal? Well, you know there would be a shortage of everything among people. And if there ever were any stores opened or any people willing to have a transaction, sell what they had, the prices would increase. Whether it was just a little bit, like 10%, or whether somebody with a small little store or an extra supply would say, I bought that for $10, but I'll sell it to you for 20 or 30. It's just something you want to be aware of, that there would be shortages, and that people would not want to sell the supplies that they themselves might be needing. So what supplies would be available, you're going to be paying a lot for, and they're going to be hard to find. So normality would probably not return very quickly, and that's just the way it would be. So what you do is you get your supplies beforehand, and that is what I try to talk about. Get things before. I know I was in the 1998 Loma Prieta earthquake in the San Francisco Bay Area. And in general, there were a couple of, it stretched into months, where most stores were shut down. Oh, some were weeks, some were months, but the stores were pretty much not open. You just couldn't buy anything. But one thing about that Loma Prieta earthquake was there were a whole lot of good and kind people who were willing to share what they had. That was very evident, the goodness and kindness of people. Now, I don't know if that goodness would continue today. I do wonder if people today would be as kind. But I don't know the answer to that. But it has seemed as though society has changed a little bit. I remember at that time, even the assaults and the robberies were hardly any. And then slowly they began to increase to normal level as the weeks went on. So there are a lot of good and kind people, and I don't know what it would mean if we had to go through something like that today. But I do know that it's good to have a few supplies. I know that in history, when you look at what has gone on, there's been a lot of people who have been ruthless in history. They've been brutal. They've been terrible people. And that's something that is a reality where we might have to deal with that. We might have to deal with being strong in a strong community that protects our own, or a strong neighborhood. I just don't know. I look at history, and I look at events in recent times, and you just have to wonder. You know, there's something, we don't remember a lot of the history. And I think about our grandparents. Our grandparents had witnessed atrocities in the world. They knew about genocides. Let's see, there was the 1915 or so Armenian genocide by the Turks. Later on in the 1920s, there were the Ukrainian and Balkan genocide done by the Russians. And in the 30s and mostly 40s, there was the Jewish genocide that was done by the Nazis. And later, a Russian genocide by the communists and a Chinese genocide by the Maoist communists. So genocides, there have always been. Oh, and more recently since then, there have been ones in Asia and South America and Africa. So there is a legitimate reason for people to be concerned and cautious. And yeah, our grandparents saw them more than we did, but they still go on. And are we concerned with protecting ourselves? Well, maybe, and maybe we ought to be. It's just one of those things where if you're aware, you have more concerns. We in the USA, we live very comfortable, and we can hardly believe that there could be those problems or that our government could threaten the people. But history shows us that governments can indeed be a threat to the people. Again, for me, I don't know that owning a gun is, well, I think it's a good thing for other people. And I would say thank you for other people, to other people, for owning a gun because they are preserving my rights and my freedoms. So, just another point of view. I think back to the Hmong people of Southeast Asia in the area around Vietnam. And they were targeted by the Laotian government for genocide because they were seen as being unfaithful, untrustworthy. And so they were targeted for genocide. Therefore, they had to hide in the jungles, which they did. And I did have opportunity to speak with some of the older Hmong veterans, and sometimes it was through a translator, and I asked questions about what they had experienced. They were used for target practice by the Laotian government. There were young girls caught, and they were sexually abused and murdered. These are documented events. They took place less than 20 years ago. So, yes, there is reason to realize that violence has happened every place in the world, and it could happen again. We don't think of it happening here in our United States of America, but it could. I think of one of those other conversations I had with those young Hmong veterans was about how scarce their bullets were. Sure that many of those young men, older men, and even boys 12 and 14 years old would carry a rifle. That was the way it was in the forest. And a person, though, might only have 5 or 25 bullets. And if there were someone going on a journey or they had to go someplace, they might take up a donation, pass the hat, and see if they could get a couple of extra bullets. And with ammunition being so very limited that giving up even one bullet was a big gift, I think of the people who are thinking about preparing with firearms these days, and I think of, okay, maybe you want to get some extra bullets. But that's for everybody to decide. Well, that just kind of got far afield. Let me go back to preparedness. Remember, water, food, and warmth, or a water filter, food, and warmth. There's all different areas that you can look to for those, and also to remember that the most important aspect of preparedness is to be prepared for eternity, and that means having your spiritual preparedness settled. That means you know Jesus, and that's the most important part. And then you will want to live a God-honoring life here on earth. Sounds pretty good. So whatever comes our way, just remember that one also. And speaking of something coming our way, You know, there is a new COVID virus. They talk about it being 50% more contagious. And we do know that there's changes that some people want to see coming. And the cruise ships, they're saying that they would want anybody on their ship to be vaccinated, whether they are crew or passengers, everybody. Oh, and it's even been suggested that in order to get a passport, you must be vaccinated. So what would happen next? Are you going to need a vaccination to get your driver's license renewed? Oh, I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm only saying, is that what it will come to? And it's just a question, what will happen between our freedoms and our legal requirements? Isn't that the way things have always gone in history? There's always been some kind of a restrictions or concerns or talk about doing something. But I am not a fan of the vaccine. I really don't want to have something that is experimental put into my body. It has not gone through any long-term clinical trials. I am concerned, especially when there are plenty of medical and scientific people who oppose this vaccine and saying that it is not a true vaccine because it affects our DNA forever. I did have talked about that vaccine developer and scientist, Gert van den Bosch. And he says if you take this vaccine, you will become a GMO person, a genetically modified organism person. So what are the risks? I don't know, but I don't like that the long-term trials were skipped. Just too many red flags for me. So I hope you research both sides of this argument if you are considering whatever it is. Vaccines have a history. There's some of the good and some of the bad. Most of it's good. But I still remember the original polio virus was, oh, I forget what percent. Was it 35% or something of the vaccines had SV40 virus in them, which is the 40th simian or monkey virus that had been identified. SV40. And so many Americans were inoculated, and that inoculation included the SV40 virus. So, questions. Do you know your history? See what could be a question. I know there's plenty of things that are being blocked on the media. We are not allowed to talk about them on Facebook or Twitter or on radio or television. Lots of things are being blocked, and you will never hear about them. They are simply not reported. So you have to do your own research. And that's what I urge everyone to do. Do their own research and then see what they think is the best decision to make for them and their family. We do get lots of information and lots of misleading information. I know there's a lot of historical information that's blocked also. I know because I try to look things up. And then I see when things have been removed, information has been removed from the internet or a platform on the internet. There's just lots of issues to examine. What might affect us? It's a big subject. I sure don't know. But I am concerned about all sorts of things going on. I am concerned about our economy, that's for sure. I see the unemployment claims, they continue to go up with the small businesses closing all over the place. I know most of them already have, but with a new strain of the virus, oh, just anything could happen. I know I have concerns about the economy. I know that the Federal Reserve is a private bank, and they control our money supply. And just days ago, they stopped reporting on the weekly M1, M2 supply of money. And that really means the supply of currency and checking accounts and M2 savings or money market accounts. But they stopped it and said they were only going to report on it every month instead of every week. And why would they stop reporting on this? Well, I think it shows that those numbers would show that inflation is coming. It would make it pretty clear. And so we only have the numbers since February. And by the way, since February, in 1 month, the M2 increased from 15 to 20 million in 1 month. That's a lot of increase. And so there are indicators that some pretty big inflation is coming. That's what it's showing. And they don't want us to know why. It shows instability. It shows that maybe we should get prepared. Because businesses cannot survive that kind of a inflationary environment. The delay between making a product, paying your employees, and then getting paid for the product is too long, and the value of your money would decrease in that little amount of time. That's the problem with big inflation. So I do hear that more people are talking about it, and that is a good thing. I hear the economic people talking like they never have before about inflation coming and about money becoming devalued. It's just that these things are getting recognized as a problem, and therefore we should look at this also. Inflation, we've been used to slow inflation, but not rapid or hyperinflation. I mean, I just think back 100 years ago. I look at the numbers, and I can see that at that time, a house cost $6,000, the average cost, just over. And today, the average house costs just over $300,000 in the United States. $6,000 to $300,000, yes, there's a lot of improvements since then, but the fact is it's inflationary. I know eggs. 100 years ago, a dozen eggs cost 50 cents, and today, pretty close to $6. So that's inflation, no matter how you look at it. Are we going to get through it? I think we are. But there are numbers that show that inflation is coming. And what do? I think a whole lot of what we do is we hold assets that are inflation-proof? I don't know. What is that? There's two things that are considered to be an inflation-proof asset. One is paid-for real estate, and the other is silver and gold, and pretty much that's silver and gold coins. That's just what is pretty much thought of. And you do have to think about silver and gold, that the central banks for years have been acquiring gold, and especially China and Russia. They especially have been buying up gold, and any gold that is mined in their country, they do not allow it to be exported. So you can see what the very rich money people are doing. They are acquiring assets. And so it's a good thing, for us to pay attention to what they are acquiring, why they are acquiring it, and I just think of that inflationary again. What's going on with inflation in our economy? How would we get through a time? And like I just said, the big problem with inflation is it makes the economy unstable and businesses cannot survive in that kind of instability. So it would make everything go broke. The businesses, the government, and we the people. We couldn't even afford to pay, even if we could pay for the social benefits or entitlements, their value would go down and down and down. And yeah, that's a problem. So do what you can. And most people can get a few silver coins or a cryptocurrency. Yeah, invest in that. There's a lot of people saying cryptocurrency is the way to invest. That's the very best because the whole world is getting ready to have a new money system. And that money system would be transacted in cryptocurrency. So, yeah, that's another idea. Sure, get some of that too. And even the Bible tells us that the world will turn into a one-world system. Basically, that's what it is. So consider what would happen if that did happen. And you know I've already said that in other episodes, that in other broadcasts, that the two most populous nations in the world, China and India, already have a form of cryptocurrency because they don't use money in much of their country. So it's coming. It's coming. So look at what you would do. Consider how you would avoid being involved in the beast system. That's the thing. And that is in Revelation chapter 6, if you want to look into it. We have to stay a part of that system and not being a part of it. So what would we do if? What would you do if you were legally required to take the mark or to take the whatever it is? You don't want to take that mark because that means suffering in hell. But you still have to have some idea of what you would do. And to me, I think community is about the best idea right after the most important thing, which is to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And you get to know him better when you read the Bible. So do that. It's a good thing. I am also inviting everyone to get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Pours out to every nation.